Okay, and for all of you who have been waiting for this, it's time. Glad to have all of you along, wherever you are around the world and in the UK. John Leonard Walson, back for part two tonight. And I would urge all of you to please go to guests, add rents, and look for John. Look under his name. This is John Leonard Walson, part two. And all you need to do is, let's find where it says photos. There's the YouTube channel. Hopefully the photos are up and listed. Let's find out here a second. Okay, well, we're going to the YouTube channel. So James has failed to put the photos up there, so I'll have to write to him and ask him to do that. So hang on, we'll get to that in just a second. First of all, welcome back to John Leonard Walson. John, thank you for being here. We had a great time last week. We're going to have another one tonight. How you been? How was the response to your visit?
Hello, Jeff. Wonderful. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it, and it's been a pleasure. It's been absolutely amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome. So you've gotten a lot of good response from people, and you've got a lot of friends all around the world. Everybody liked it. They liked the images. No complaints.
Yeah.
You did. You guys did such a good job. I don't know how anybody could complain. We ended up with the helicopter harassment. These were attacks, basically, on you without actually shooting you. They might as well have. They took you down with air blast in one of them. That was just crazy.
It was, Jeff. You're right. There was one that got me with a very powerful electrical charged beam. It's called a sunlight beam. And that's actually meant only to be used at around 500 feet, searching in a wide field area of a field. Apparently, they decided to come 20 feet above my roof, got caught on CCTV, and blasted me with a pinpoint view coming out of smog, low smog. And obviously, I wondered what the noise was, stood outside the front door only, dead still looking at the smog. All of a sudden, helicopter comes out of the smog. The beam, you couldn't actually see correctly with your naked eye because it was I think they were using some sort of infrared to start with. Then it came up, it came to the edge of the path. You can see on the CCTV, and it literally came on, boom, like that, followed the path, hit me, and all in a matter of seconds, and then went over my head, went halfway up the house wall, then turned off and went away. And you can see that all on CCTV. That's how low it was.
Wow.
Incredible.
Well, okay, the picture pages are up there now, and if you go to page two, which is where we're going to start tonight, you'll see the pictures of the helicopters, and you'll see the Chinook, and it is, John could have thrown a rock and hit it. Easy. I mean, this thing is a monstrous piece of machinery, and I guess they were trying to knock you to the ground and hurt you or to scare the hell out of you, one or the other.
They did, Jeff. The one where you pointed out last week, where it says over my house, knocks me over, it actually knocked some of the tiles, the downdraft knocked some, well, made some of the tiles come off the roof. And they had, I had to get a repair person to come out and fix the roof after, obviously, I'd been treated for being knocked down in the garden, hurting my cortex bone very badly. Where I was pushed and it came off a wall and hit the wall, really hurt. And it still does, you know, today when I'm sitting down, I have to sit on cushions and stuff. It's not right.
It sounds like you hurt your lower spine. I don't know if they have chiropractors in England, but that might be something you'd look into. They can straighten those things out.
Yeah.
Now, I remember when these happened, John. We were talking and all the time back then. And, I mean, when you sent me those pictures, I was stunned. And I remember the one with the light underneath it, the flash going off when they were taking some photos of you. There was clearly a strobe flash on the bottom. But that last picture of the Chinook, you'll see there's trees and you're looking right over the rooftop. That thing is so low, it's ridiculous. I mean, that's obviously against the law. Not that the law matters much anymore for anything, but that's an enormous thing, and
it's a risk, Jeff, isn't it? Like, clip the trees. It's a very bad risk to take.
Oh, easy. They could have hit those trees. They could have had an accident. They could have killed people. That's stupid. Stupid. Just stupid.
We will be there in America on the 17th, approximately, of July.
Well, wow. That would be a real treat if you came out this way.
We're having a very good help from people, and hopefully we're going to try. And you remember, I mentioned last week that we were hoping to do a road show and share this wonderful experience of all my equipment. I've just hit the tip of the iceberg with you, Jeff, explaining the equipment that I've got. But I've got access to Paramount ME, which is a very important piece of equipment, with a 16-inch CAT, which is a telescope I've had specifically made to receive the UV spectrum on the mirrors by a special company helped do that. There's only one other in existence, which is a 20-inch version, which the Ministry of Defence actually own in England, and they had it built to search with all the gadgets I was explained by the person who made it for them, to search for nerve gas from a particular secret location in England. I don't know how, but that's what he said, and I've got it on film, and I can send it to you, Jeff. For the people, I have had, there was one comment from somebody, I won't mention them, they know who they are. They said that basically it's impossible for me to have filmed these space objects, and the emails I've had from Jerry Gilmore are irrelevant and don't have no substance at all to proving anything that I've done. They don't prove anything, those emails from Jerry Gilmore saying that he quoted, "I filmed the Star Wars project." This gentleman that's listening, probably is listening, also said that I have no equipment that could possibly do this, film actual objects in space. If I did, my moon footage would be a lot better. I'd like to clear one thing up, Jeff. You remember you suggested, could they be geostationary?
Yes.
Last week. It was actually one of the professors mentioned to me they allegedly were geostationary. That's why I sort of concluded with you that that was possible the case. But this gentleman that's listening has been cyberbullying me and has attacked me for allegedly agreeing with you or the alleged email from Jerry Gilmore and others that said it could be possibly geostationary Star Wars objects. So he actually cyberbullied me for actually just re-emphasizing the comments from the emails I received. So I'm not going to mention who he is, but I think we'll leave it at that, Jeff, shall we?
Yeah, that's fine. On. Well said, John. That's good enough. Let me suggest something that is deja vu for me. I mean, I saw this when you were first on however long ago, 10, 12 years ago. Somebody wrote in and said he really wants to get behind what you're doing. Like the idea a great deal, but why aren't, and we've discussed this long ago, why aren't more people or any other people getting these images? And the answer, you've answered it already. There are other people getting these images.
Yes, there are. I've sent you the email, Jeff, way back in the end of 2006 and 2007. I was in a safe house with transporting a VIP to safety. And I was communicating with you then, and you were very kind and talked to me and kept lots of things in confidence. Basically, for instance, the Jerry Gilmore email, everyone can look at it. He clearly states him and me and his colleagues are doing exactly the same thing. And he actually quotes many astronomers around the world are seeing these satellites and objects in space, including the one that I mentioned to you last week, Jeff, which was the gentleman that now is the person in charge of Clay Observatory. And he was doing it way before me as well, Jeff. So, yeah, lots of people are seeing this. And again, I'm the only one who's been cyberbullied about it, which is terrible for but not now. I only get the odd ball, and that was the only one. Mainly, I've had wonderful response from lovely people.
Well, very good. Now, I want to repeat one thing I said in our last visit.
Yeah.
And that is the video that you had posted that showed at night you're sitting at your scope and someone was behind you taking a video at night of you with the view screen. It was I don't know, LED, or was a view screen, maybe 3x4
That's
inches,
right, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And
it's a flip out screen.
On that LED screen was what you were imaging with the scope, and there was just a little tiny white dot. And as you racked that scope out and pulled that object in, it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And in real time, we watched that little tiny object of whiteness turn into one of these machines. And that's what they are. Are they satellites? Are they Star Wars? Are they stationary objects from some other planet? Are they, what are they? We don't know, but they're up there. And we watched you pull that up with your scope and it filled your view screen. And I was just amazed. It was quite a demonstration. So that was something that was unforgettable about the early days. The other thing you mentioned last time, and I think you kind of let slip something you had always kept to yourself about how you got that 8-inch telescope to perform such super incredible close-ups of the moon and other things as well. And you did it by taking would have been a video camera back then, I guess, but what are you using now? A digital camera? The idea was you would take a camera and use the lens on that camera to make the maximum image or near maximum image of your telescope get larger still. So you were able to compound the enlargement of whatever it was you were imaging with a secondary source.
Allegedly, yes, I'm going to stick to that because I don't want to be cyberbullied, cause trouble. Basically, yes, Jeff, you get a really nice camcorder. Back in those days, it would have been silly to take it apart, wouldn't it, for the common person,
right.
And anyone doing astronomy. But me, I got one and I thought, you know, what can I do? I've been looking through the lens part of it for ages, and so I'll be honest with you, Jeff. I got a screwdriver and poked the lens out to expose the chip, and this was a really nice camera, and it exposed the CCD chip down the barrel. So you imagine you get your camera, your hand camera,
yeah,
and look at it, and there's a lens. You have to poke the glass out, and it leaves like a barrel in
gotcha.
the barrel, and you still do the zoom and the barrel goes up and down as a secondary lens, and behind that there's a CCD chip. Now you can keep that there, but if you use your actual finger to still zoom, you can only go so far before the image would disappear because it would not work correctly, but you can go a couple of notches, which give you that extra zoom, a few notches. Then I thought, well, let's poke that barrel out. So I poked the whole barrel and the secondary lens, which exposed the CCD chip. Then what you can do is get some very nice teleconverters. Now, these things times what you can see. Now, depending on the sensitivity of your chip and the size of your chip, you can get things that literally, like your magnifying glass that you use, Jeff, to look at the screen and
yeah,
in details,
yeah.
You can actually put that in between the CCD chip that's in the barrel and your telescope. So, you know, when you go to a back of a telescope, you normally look through a little eyepiece, don't you?
Sure.
Well, take that eyepiece out and you're left with just the telescope empty. And if you used to look down it, you wouldn't be able to see nothing. So what you do then, you get your camera, and you've poked out your lens on your camera, and you've put one of these tele converters in between it. And I, my great friend is duct tape, you know, tape.
Yes,
yeah?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I've got pictures, and you can see it's all taped on in the early days. You'd get your handycam or whatever. You put your tele converter, which is like a 2x magnification part that would go in between. You have to put a little adjustment for your focal length, which is normally, you know, on those eyepieces that you put in the telescope.
Yes.
You can unscrew the bottom of it. They come apart, and you're left with like a silver tube.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if you know, but astronomers listening.
I've seen an 8-inch Meade telescope up close. Yeah, and used it.
Yeah, and you get little eyepieces, don't you?
Yeah, several.
Yeah, and on those little eyepieces, on the bottom, there's a silver bit that you push in, isn't there? A silver tube that's attached to the eyepiece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on the bottom. Mm-hmm. Literally, you just unscrew that, use that, put that on there, tape it all up, push it into the eyepiece, and that then becomes not the lens, but the camera becomes, you know, attached, and you can then use your little zoom. And that zooms
How ingenious.
In.
That's amazing.
And when I explained that to Jerry Gilmore, he said the same thing. And he said, explained that he was doing the same thing, but using BBC grade cameras that they don't come with lenses. Literally, they unscrew the lenses. You know the ones? And they're big chips, yeah?
Uh-huh.
And he was putting on massive telescopes with coolers and everything, and doing the exact same thing, and using, it's been around for a while, but there's this wonderful bit of software. There's other pieces of software that do the same thing, and there's a few other people out there that have just started doing it that are using this piece of software called SharpCap. Now, SharpCap has got this wonderful little tool, and you go to the tool that says Zoom. And literally, you can download this software for free. Go to sharpcap.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
And this actual software is free. You can download it. It's got excellent PDFs to show you how to do it. What little, you know, all the little things I've just told you about, you know, webcams, how you can modify them to do what I've just told you. What webcams are compatible with this software and what cameras are. It's brilliant software. And there's some people using it. In fact, one of these cyberbullies are using it now, and they're, you know, zooming into the moon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do, you get the zoom, and what it does, it lets the software zooms into the chip, so it doesn't distort. So what, but you can do it live and broadcast it, so it appears that you're zooming in, but what you're actually doing, you're actually just zooming into the chip, which the chip is seeing the whole moon still, but the software is zooming into that part and broadcasting it live. Does that make sense?
Fascinating.
Very clever. And as I said, Jerry Gilmore and me were doing this way back, 10, 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of astronomers were, and doing it even before me and Jerry Gilmore, this chap who's now the head of Clare Observatory. It's a wonderful hobby.
This will work on anything that the scope can image. Anything.
Well, the bigger the chip that you use, the better.
Yeah.
The better quality chip you use, like a full frame one, like a Canon or a Nikon,
mm-hmm.
or even go to my. I use a Sony A7 and a Sony A7S, and they are 42 megapixels. They are brilliant, and I've been using. I was one of the first people in England to get a Sony A7S.
Huh.
The company was still kind, and I've used other things like a Fuji S Pro 1, which is a dedicated UV telescope.
Uh-huh.
And I was one of the first people to have that in the country. I had to sign a disclosure and also promise with the company. I had to promise not to use the Sony Pro F1 for certain matters, which I never will. I expect to explain it's for astronomy. They were fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
I've still got the document. I could send it to you for the people that listen. And basically, the bigger the chip, the more better resolution. You can zoom in with this wonderful free software. It's amazing, Jeff. There's no trickery. It's all real. And, you know, can tell the way I'm talking. You know, it was wonderful when I've got this Paramount ME, with this 16-inch cat, which is a telescope, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And the people listening, astronomers, know what it is. And basically, the focal length, it's amazing, started off at just over 3,000 millimeter focal length, but it was at, it wasn't at F10. Like, you know, the meads, the Annex 200 meads,
uh-huh,
are F10. And F10 is, and then you've got their actual around 3,400 something millimeter focal lengths. So they actually, like, that's a 14-inch one, are quite good to start with.
Uh-huh.
But then when you add the times two on the back, which is a teleconverter, it sort of doubles it, you know, sort of attempts to, but it goes a little bit duller. So what you have to do, you have to find equipment that will intensify the light that's coming through your telescope and the times two teleconverter. Once you've hit that sweet spot, getting the higher resolution cameras, the better megapixels, mm-hmm, and the better intensifiers, you can then do what I've done to get really close. You can buy off of a wonderful company a 5x teleconverter. Or expander, for the people that don't know what it means, it expands the view 5x. So it's a very high quality, nice piece of equipment. And it literally is all really nice pieces of glass that literally, like your magnifying glass, you've got like five, or some come with seven elements, or, mm-hmm, or three, or, mm-hmm, five. So it's like five little magnifying glasses, all separate, different intervals, to give you a really good, very close up image. Yeah. But the trouble is, the more elements you put in, the more glass, which are elements you put in between your CCD chip and on the back of the telescope, the duller the image used to be, until you buy something like a Sony A7S, which the ISO range can go up to 450,000 ISO, or just about around that approximate area. And the good thing is, the old cameras, which were like Nikon and Canon, used to only in video mode go up to like 6,000, 8,000 ISO at a push.
Right.
So you couldn't really push your boundaries through the elements. You couldn't put much glass between your CCD chip and the telescope. So what you have to do, you have to find either Gen tubes. I started putting Gen night vision tubes. I was buying off of a very amazing company called Starlight Night Vision in UK. They're a wonderful company, very helpful.
Uh-huh.
And you can ask them, can I please have a tube, a Gen tube? And they sell small little ones that fit perfectly into the eye bed pieces of telescopes.
Wow.
Which is amazing, and that will intensify what you're seeing in space. So you imagine you put one of these Gen tubes first, then your eyepieces, and then what you can do is get another Gen tube and put it on top of the eyepieces, and you can piggyback these Gen night vision tubes to intensify each other, which is incredible, which I've been doing. And they know this, and they've been, you know, selling this without people knowing. Well, they know now. Then you put your camera on top of that, and you can see through five elements. Now, if you want to get better, I've actually gone beyond that and put a combination of elements of actual beautiful pieces of glass, which I've had specially made for me by Orion Optics. They are a wonderful company. Uh-huh. Orion Optics is in Wales, in UK. And for people listening, I'll say again, Orion Optics, they are one of the best companies you could buy a telescope off. And I'm going to surprise the public tonight. Right, this is an exclusive. If you go to Google Orion Optics, I haven't been paid to do this, Jeff. This is just all free.
Gotcha.
To help the public.
Sure.
Orion Optics, they haven't given me no special deals. In fact, they probably won't like me doing this, because they deal with astronomers and they don't want a load of people ringing up, oh, do you know John Leonard Wilson, you know, but, you know, never mind, they might get some sales. Anyway, you go to Orion Optics, okay, and there's a wonderful, you go to telescopes, okay, and you pick OMC. Now, this is the most wonderful telescope you could ever buy on the planet. I'm telling you, this is a small, compact telescope, but if you go down to the specifications, and these telescopes are just, you know, amazing. You can pick on the OMC 200 Deluxe model, for example, and if you go to the specifications and look, you'll get the aperture, which is 200 millimeters. Mm-hmm. And you'll go, if you come down to what I was talking about, the tube length is only 600 millimeters compared to my LX 200 Mead 14 inch. Now, I'm going to compare both of those together. Uh-huh. So you imagine a massive 14 inch LX 200 Mead. You've used an 8 inch, is that correct? Have you seen
right.
one?
Right.
Yeah. They're not very big, are they?
No.
Yeah, they're about as big as, like, probably three loaves of bread long by two
right.
loaves of bread. Yeah?
That's
okay.
right.
Right. Yeah. Okay. You imagine a 14-inch one is like 10 or 12 loaves of bread long and like three.
Well, you need three people to pick it up and place
you
it.
You do. Yeah, it's as tall as a man. You know, I've got one, a 16-inch one, but anyhow, and a 14. So basically, I'm going to compare the 14-inch to this wonderful OMC 200 by Orion Optics. Now, I'll tell you straight out, the OMC 200 by Orion Optics will beat that any day, anywhere, anytime. Do you know why? Because the 14-inch is an F10. It starts off at about approximately, I have to look at the specs, but about 3,000 sort of 400 millimeter focal length.
Okay.
And it's very big, very heavy to pull around. The OMC 200 is F20. So you imagine you're looking at the moon with the LX 200 Mead 14 inch.
Yeah.
It's F10. So the moon, if you put a full frame camera on the back of it, the moon will be slightly further away and slightly smaller with that focal length. But if you put a full frame camera on an F20, and this focal length starts on this OMC at 4,000 millimeters, so it's, you know, beating the 14 inch straight away. Then if you put these times two teleconverters on it, you only need to put a two times on it, and you are bang on the moon, Jeff. I mean, anyone can buy this kit that's
wow.
got enough money, and you bang on. I've got one of these, and that it's just
that's
I've
how you do it. You see, John has just shared some astonishing details about how he works with his telescopes, and this I never thought he'd do it, but
I had to, Jeff, because this man that's listening, he's just finished one of his broadcasts, and he is a chief UFO analyst for some people. I won't say because it'll get me into trouble with his boss, but he really cyberbullied me horribly. It was very nasty. I've saved it, or I can send it to you, and
send it over. I'd like to read it. I won't post it or anything.
No, don't post it. But
I don't like thugs, John. You know me. I just don't like them.
And I've got all this equipment. I know it off by heart. When I type, Jeff, I'm not very, you know, good at, you know, typing, you know, and emails and explain it through typing. But now I'm starting to talk, you know, to you because you're very, you know, helpful, etc. To, you know, bring people into a nice, you know, calm setting. You know, I can explain all this. It's just really simple stuff to do. Use the software, that nice software I said, which is free to download. Now, I will announce to the world a wonderful new secret. Just use sharpcap.co.uk, and that's free software to download. If you've got the money, go to Orion Optics, get one of these wonderful OMC 200s. If you haven't got enough money to get that, I will tell you a secret how to get exactly the same as OMC 200 for, shall we say, $500. Now, the OMC 200 from Orion Optics is around $5,000. £5,000.
We don't want to get Orion angry here, but
No, I'm not going to get them angry. I'm just going to help all the kids that are that can't afford it. Say, you know, Mexico, you know, third world countries, Russia.
I gotcha. Europe. I gotcha. Amateur astronomers around the world are listening to this.
Around the world are just going to be helped, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the telescope I'm going to give to John Lear, okay? I'm going to present it to him as a present because his one's broke. I'm going to be over there on the 17th, and I'm going to give him a nice telescope because his one's broke. And I'm going to give him a telescope almost identical to that 7,000-ish dollars OMC 200. I have gone and got a F-15 telescope, which is the same sort of thing as the OMC 200. It's not got all the deluxe, you know, carbon fiber tube, but it still does a good job. And it's not 4,000 millimeter focal length, but it's 2,400 millimeter-ish approximately focal length, and it's an F-15. Now, I'm going to take that over in my haversack because I took it abroad before, over to you, no problem at all, in my haversack, on board, no problem at all. And it's a nice little thing that poor, you know, nice John Lear can, you know, easily manage. Marcel's going to put in his haversack a little tripod that's a nice little remote control so he can use it. I'm going to give him a nice camera as well to put on the back. So when I get there, he can put it on his nice back porch that he's got and look off to the mountain, which he's always complaining about helicopters coming along, and he'll be able to see them crystal clear and report it on Facebook. So now this little thing is wonderful. It's you can, if you Google it on the internet, this wonderful little telescope you can buy. Now they do very simple ones. I'll just get it for you. It's either, let's just say for instance, a 150 Matt. Now, you can go to the American version of Orion Optics. It's called Orion, and it's called they make these Orion 150 millimeters, and they're max. They're brand new. They're £500, so that's about only what, $800 or something, is it? Something like that.
I think you're right. Yeah, close enough. Yeah.
Yeah. You can either go to, you just Google it, Orion 150 millimeter and Mac, and it'll take you straight to one of these telescopes. You need a nice little mount, and I would advise either, say, an EQ Pro 5, which is, again, around $500, sort of $600. So that's for around $1,100 or $1,200, you've got a really nice telescope, and you can get hold of, and this is all new, by the way. You can get hold of a webcam. I would advise a Logic, you know, HD cam with that free piece of software I said earlier. Okay, would be the ultimate setup. Now that's around what, $1,300. But if you Google on the internet and Google eBay, you can get it all half price. Now, what I did, I Googled it on eBay because I wanted to prove a point. And I managed, Marcel got it for me. He found it for me. He managed to buy an even more powerful one, a 180 Mac, which is 2,400 something millimeter focal length, F-15, for guess how much? £350. And it is perfect. Wow. And that's it's the one I'm going to give to John Lear. We're going to get a little mount, and that is amazing. Now, that telescope, that cheap little telescope for like £350, I can make as powerful as my 14-inch. That's what I'm getting to, Jeff. You know, if I post all this and, you know, there's any questions and where to get it off, people haven't listened, I can, you know, send it to you and you could probably post it. So you can get hold of this wonderful 180 Orion. It's a 180 millimeter Orion telescope. They do an American version and an English version. Don't get it confused with Orion Optics. They're much more expensive, but they are worth it if you can afford it. They are very, very high grade, the best you can get.
Except for a company. Wow. Well, I will post, if you want, with your permission, whatever you send me to make this available to everyone. This is revolutionary in terms of normal telescopic examinations of space and what's out there. This just changes the whole game because it makes everything affordable. I mean, what you're doing by making these little telescopes perform like the 14 inchers is really astonishing.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a gift of my hobby to the world. I'll tell you what, every astronomer should be shouting out about this, including that cyber buddy that's listening to me, who claims he's a wonderful astronomer. If he is, he'd know all about this, and instead of sitting on his 10-inch mead, he'd be telling the world about exactly what I just told you, and he'd be giving it to the world and saying, look, all you've got to do is get a 180 Orion, it's a 180 millimeter Orion Mac, and all you got to do, you can Google it, and you can eBay it, you can get it for around $400, and with that you put a Logic HD cam on the back, you get a little 2x teleconverter, and this is all going to be for about $700 or $800 with a nice little mount, and literally that I can make anywhere in the world prove, and I will at John Lear's, that is as powerful as my massive 14-inch or 16-inch mead that is worth like 20, $15,000,
Something
stupid like that. And I can get the same results with this cheap little thing I'm going to give John Lear. And that is a gift to, everybody in Mexico can help them, help you tell everybody, you imagine all around the world. You can backpack with this up mountains.
Unreal. You don't have to lug a 14-inch scope anymore.
Exactly.
This is astonishing.
It is, yeah. And this should have been given out to the world ages ago, but it just been kept secret. I wonder why.
Well, I know why you kept it secret long ago, and now it's not secret. You've just shared it with the world. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
there
we go. Cool.
And if John Leonard Walson is blowing smoke here, he will be torn apart by astronomers the world over. It ain't going to happen. He's just explained it all in great detail. Well, it's there. It's in the archives. Now, we do have a lot of photos to go through. So, John, if you're ready, we can start with the pictures.
Yeah, we can. Just one thing, because the bloke that's listening is going to say, oh, well, how did you track spaceships with that cheap setup? I didn't use that. I'm just saying about the moon. So we're just, get that right.
That whole thing, I guess, was strictly addressing the moon images and videos that John has.
Yeah.
Which are breathtakingly close.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And, cool. Excellent.
All right. Let's ask everyone to load up photos page 2. And we're going to pick up, we'll just review, and as you scroll down there, you'll look and see the helicopter harassment right over John's house. This is 10, 12 years ago, and then they send a small Cobra, and then they send a big Chinook. And I mean, the Chinook was, that's dangerous. That is damn dangerous. And when you look at that last picture of that Chinook right over his roof through the greenery, and you see the rotors. You can see the rotors and the fuselage of this enormous helicopter. I mean, I just can't. I don't know what the hell they were thinking.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to the Apache gunship. That's actually more recent, Jeff. So, and that was terrifying as well.
Yeah.
The Chinook was that quite some time ago, but there was actually another Chinook which has got a little UFO that was a bit more recent too, but the one with the trees was some time ago. That was very distressing.
Very amazing, to put it mildly. Wow. Okay, so let's move past that and then past a picture of John's eye, which is what that helicopter searchlight did to his eye. He still has trouble today. Just fried it. Wow.
It was like you get sunburnt with the sun at the beach, and it left blisters on my eyes, so it literally, because it says in the manual, do not point this at any person.
Absolutely.
If you point it at someone within 20 feet, you can actually set their clothes on fire, it says in the manual. So it's an electrically charged actual beam of light, 30 million watt candle light
power.
Yeah,
30 million candle power.
Yeah, it's not some little torch. It can set your clothes on fire at 20 feet. There's the
I believe it.
PDF.
1 million candle power is enormous, and the warnings on those flashlights: do not point at wildlife, do not point at anybody, human, nothing.
Yeah.
Too much. 30 million. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Okay, let's scroll down right below John's eye, which is, you've got permanent damage in it, but it did heal as far as the blisters and things.
That's right. The blood, and because when obviously the blisters burst, the blood, that it started actually bled. And I'm so shocked. I said, my eye's bleeding. I had to go back to the hospital. My eye's bleeding. So don't worry. The hospital was really nice. In the emergency department, I taped it all, Jeff, to prove I'm telling the truth. And they were really nice. I got sent up to the specialist. They were really nice in there seeing
me.
And I've got this document, I think you've seen that, where she was making notes to the doctor and said the beam damaged right eye.
Yeah.
And then after a week, luckily I give that to my family doctor, someone took a photo of what she'd written when she went out to get some medicine, and someone took a photo and printed it out for me, give that to my family. But within 1 week, do you know what that specialist had done? She lied and wrote back to my family doctor, said it was an eye infection. Even though I was sent up from the emergency department and they found out who did it and they admitted doing it, she looks a right idiot because the police have admitted doing it and she said it's an eye infection. So she's contradicted herself, and I've got the recording of her saying, and the documents to prove that she said it was actually damage from the beam. I think it's in the video, and you've got a copy of it. So how corrupt this system is.
Oh, it did. Look, it takes one phone call, and people are ordered to do things, and they're threatened, and they'll do whatever they're told, and that's the way the game is played.
And I even got one of the doctors saying to me, I'm sorry, I can't help you because I've got to think of my career. And I've got him on tape saying that because I'm so scared now to even go to the doctors about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got him on. He said, I'm so scared. I can't help you and get involved. I can only treat you for things, you know, if it's an emergency, and I can't refer you blah, blah, blah anymore to anything. And I said, obviously, you've got to think of your job. And I did say to him, doctors actually sign an oath to help their patients.
Supposedly. It's called the Hippocratic Oath, yeah.
But they're not keeping to it.
No, I know. It's all about money. It's all about power. It's all about threats. It's complete hegemony over the rank and file of humanity. They control it all. And you live or you die. It doesn't matter to the big boys. And
I mean, you remember when you knew me in 2007? It was happening all then. I had to look after a very important person. And then that, I don't know if you know the story, it was just horrible. They interfered then, took them off, and I was left to face the music back with the person that I had to get away from. It was mad. Never mind.
Well, I don't want to go there. It's because it's very private. But that whole thing was amazing. Amazing.
It was.
Well, I hope you come over to the States, you get a chance to come up. I'm not too far from John.
Yeah, I'd love to. I know we are. And I mean, I had to change my name. I mean, you know that. And that was the reason where all the names have come from, because I had to keep my name secret because this person was after the person I was helping. So that's all the people that are cyberbullying about my name changing, they all know now. There we go. And I can prove it if you want. Yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, I'm really amazed that we're sitting here talking again after all these years and hearing the things I'm hearing, and you sharing all the optical wizardry that you came up with when you put this system together. And now you can literally take a small scope and get it to outperform a 14-inch telescope.
Yep.
And
it's, you remember
just
that
amazing.
That nice little bit that you're always on about on the back of the screen. A wonderful person called Duncan Davis. He helped with that. He had, because I couldn't do it on my own, obviously. He was really helpful. It's been really helpful for many years.
Uh-huh.
And then we've had, unfortunately, you know, you get people that try and manipulate situations, and they try and turn friends against each other.
Oh, yeah.
And then you realise what's happened, and then you're back together again. But this chap, he's a really lovely chap, Duncan Davis, and he's helped. He's the grid keeper. He's helped a lot. He's been ridiculed as well, and people have cyberbullied him, especially above Top Secret. I think I'm allowed to say that, of cyberbullied us extremely badly. I've reported it to Google. They won't do nothing about
it. They won't do anything. Nothing.
One Hollywood producer that you were mentioning, promising things, he promised to get the CEO, Mark Owen, to retract it, because it's all lies. All the, you know, they're claiming this is tinfoil ships. It's not. And saying I'm a fake, I'm a hoax, and all this rubbish. It's really hurt me over a number of years. They won't retract it. They won't say sorry. And then you've got other paid, you know, cyberbullies as well. It's not right, Jeff.
There are many thugs working the internet in real time, all the time, that don't even have talk shows. They just work behind the scenes to insult, to degrade, to smear people and cause fights. That's all they do. They're paid for it, and they have no problem, no conscience. They're psychopaths.
Yeah, but you've got some nice people. You've got, like, Duncan, and you got you, and you got quite a few people like you and Duncan. I could mention them. I don't know if I'm allowed to, but I'll just keep quiet. But there are a few lovely people. I know who they are. They've helped me, really helped me. Some ladies, you know, sort of. There's lots of nice people.
Right. Well, I'll tell you who some of the nicest people of all are, and those are the people who are listening right now. They are the best audience in talk radio in the world, in this country, and they're listening, and they... I know many of them, and they are open-minded. They will not throw somebody into the trash without thoroughly considering what they're saying. And I would suggest any of you out there who are into amateur astronomy, consider doing what John has revealed here.
Yeah.
Look for yourself. See how close you get to the moon. That's amazing. So, all right.
Any questions, you know, just to build one of those, if anyone gets stuck, just type it in chat, just the name of the 180 Mac, where you can get it in America and in England. You can get it on eBay. It's very simple, and like an EQ Pro 5, or it doesn't have to be that. It can be just an EQ, you know, 5. It doesn't have to be a Pro version, and you'll be fine. Get a times two converter and
whatever you want to send me over here, I'll certainly post in your featured story section as well, so we can do that.
Cool.
Okay, we are out of time for the first hour, so let's not start on our pictures until after the break. But the pictures, we're going to finish page two and go through page three, which has a lot of moon stuff on it, and then we'll also direct you to a location where you can see at John's YouTube channel live imagery of the moon. And he gets right down there on the surface. And as I said last time, I'll repeat it. India put up a moon orbiting satellite, and John's images are closer and sharper and more clear than the Indian orbital satellites. So you figure that out. And then in many of his images, of course, you'll see things that are right angles, non-natural, geometric shapes, and we'll leave it to you to decide what you think they are, but they're not normal, and there's a lot going on the moon.
That's a good thing you just said. Leave it to the public to decide, and then I don't get quoted for anything. That's a good thing you said, Jeff.
No, John is just, all he's here is to put up what he has been able to discover with his work, and let you decide. And when you look at something on the moon with right angles and what look to be anything but natural formations, you need to make the decision in your mind what you think that is. It's, no one's going to tell you what to think here. We just don't do that. All right, we're going to take a break and come right back with John Leonard Walson and take a look at some more phenomenal pictures of machines up in space in orbit. Are they Star Wars? Are they ours? Are they theirs? What are they? We don't know, but they're up there, and we'll be right back.